Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner with us again this morning with Legal Aid Works. It's Monday, so Ann, it must be you and I talking about various things. Good morning, and again, thank you for continuing to do this as we go along in this COVID-19 era.
Good morning, Ted. I'm really, we just are very appreciative of this opportunity, and we thank you for allowing us to come on. We're grateful.
Well, we're grateful to have you, and I think the community has to be grateful for the type of services that you offer in a lot of communities around this part of Virginia. You, when I just talked to you a second ago off air, we're talking about, we have breaking news to talk about this morning.
We do, comparatively speaking. So last Wednesday, the Supreme Court of Virginia authorized local courts to begin opening as early as May 18th, which is a week from today. As you might remember, we started out back in March with an order that said all courts are closed except for emergencies until April 6th. Then they extended it for 21 days, and then it was April 26th, then it was May 7th, then it was May 17th. So we've had these little staggered orders saying, nope, nobody is going to be back in court. The reason why that was significant was that you can't be evicted in Virginia unless you are taken to court by your landlord. So in effect, this has operated for a while now, since March, to have a moratorium on any kind of evictions. Well, so that's been great for people who are losing jobs, losing income, and wondering how they're going to pay their rent.
Well, and this goes back to what you were talking about. We talked about it a week ago, about the fact that you weren't sure when the courts were going to open, but you want to be ready because when they do reopen, this is a possibility.
Yeah, and the other real headline for us in all of this was that, and I hadn't really figured this out myself until this all happened, the Supreme Court of Virginia has issued all these moratoriums, but each individual court has come up with a way to interpret it and to behave during the moratoriums. So not all courts are going to follow this guideline. And what I mean by that is some of them are saying, I know we could open for non-emergency cases by May 18th, but we are going to hold off on that. We don't know all of the different courts in our area. We have 17 courts that we're following, or at least 17 counties. In Caroline County, they've said, yep, we're going to be starting our cases back up on the 18th. Fredericksburg is a little up in the air. We haven't heard specifically. King George, a little bit unsure. Spotsy might be opening, and Stafford for sure is opening on May 18th. But the big thing for your listeners to know is they need to check. If they have a court date this coming week, they need to call the court and just verify that and make sure that things are still a go and that they are supposed to show up.
Interesting. Like you say, that it's going to be hard to figure out for a while because, like you submit, you know, Caroline is open, but others may not be. And so it's going to be, I guess, for a while, hit and miss.
Yeah, a real patchwork. And I think that probably is a shadowing of what our businesses are doing, what our social lives are doing. You know, some people are opening, some people are holding back, and everything in between. So it isn't some kind of nice, clean, everybody's going to do this, and then this day, suddenly they're going to do something else. It's going to be, I think, a gradual approach.
I guess some of these courts will look at just not wanting to put people at risk and just decide to wait. Is that probably some of the thinking there?
There's several things that are going on. First of all, of course, if I were a court official making decisions, I'd be thinking about my staff. I'd be thinking about all of the cast of characters that comes into a court on a given day. And we're talking about witnesses, the litigants themselves, the lawyers, the interpreters. There's a whole village of people in a courtroom on any given day, and the bailiffs, the court clerks, all of those folks have to be safe. The other issue that I think many courts are going to be dealing with, I don't know if you've been to a court lately, Ted, but some of them are a little old-fashioned and are in cramped quarters. They didn't think about social distancing when the architects came up with the courthouse layout. So there's going to be some real challenges that the court officials are going to have to sort out about normally on a return day, which is what we call coming up to court the first time, that courtroom is packed. Are they going to have those big dockets anymore? How are they going to work those? Are they going to open early, stay late? Nobody really knows yet. That's a big question mark about what the new normal is going to look like. When we're so used to just showing up in court, having lots and lots of people there, we're going to have to reimagine that.
Well, and you also think, Anne, about just the fact that just the security and to get everyone into a courthouse anymore, you're going to have to work that out and have and how that's going to work of going through security just to get into the court, let alone, like you mentioned, just the numbers are going to have to that's going to have to be figured out.
Right, and sometimes you'll bring a kid along because you don't have daycare. That's not something the court really likes. But when the daycare is just completely stopped operating, what do you do with that? What if the court says we have a mandatory mask policy and someone shows up for their court hearing and doesn't have a mask? Should the court provide a mask? Should they send them home and have a default judgment against them because they didn't show up with a mask? These are all things that we're sorting out.
Boy, it's easy to talk about wanting to get things back to normal, but the actual implementation, and you're right, this is just like a lot of businesses. When the last week when the governor's orders came down of what phase one would look like, a lot of businesses said, even though we could do this, we're going to continue to do what we're doing right now. So, and it sounds like that's going to be the same way with the courts.
Well, I wish I'd invested in plexiglass before all this, because I'm starting to see in more and more businesses, you know, they're dropping down those plexiglass shields between you and the customer and the clerk. Maybe we'll do something like that at the court clerk's office. Maybe we'll, I still don't know how they're going to deal with just the space issue. There's so many tiny little courtrooms and tiny little court hallways that are usually jam-packed on a particular court day. So they're going to have to maybe stagger dockets, maybe come up with some other plan like that. But I do understand when a court wants to just get started again, because they're a business too. They want to do what they're supposed to do. They don't like backups. And seeing all those people who are trying to get relief at court, I understand that they really want to get things up and running. The most important thing that I want people to understand about the court opening is to definitely show up if you have a court case. You can argue about whether you should show up. You can try to get the court to agree to have a telephone hearing. Those are all options that are on the table. It's up to the court to approve that or not. But the worst thing you can do is just blow it off and just say, this is not something I can deal with right now.
Right.
Because you will get a default judgment against you. Either a landlord will be able to get an eviction, or let's say a creditor is filing to have you pay a bill that they say you owe, and they're trying to get a judgment against you. Those are all things that could go forward without you if you do not at least pipe up and say, here's my circumstances. Can I please have a continuance? Can I put this off for a month? I'll definitely show up at the next court date, but right now I cannot for this reason or that reason. The most important thing, and this is the theme you and I have been talking about for several weeks now, is to really make an effort to communicate, tell everyone what's going on. Don't just not show up.
LegalAidWorks.org is the website. Ann Klockner is here, the executive director with Legal Aid Works. We will continue along, talk about their work, and talk more about this and other issues of the day when we come back on News.
King George County's home for talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFBA. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
And Klockner here this morning with Legal Aid Works, LegalAidWorks.org. Great website that we'll talk about a lot of information, not only with what they do, but especially with how to navigate what's going on. And I think when we first started doing these shows, when the pandemic and the shutdowns hit, one of the things that really has been one of your chief concerns and one of the things that we talk about just about every week is about evictions and the concern. You've had this concern for years. We've talked about state laws and what's happening around here, but especially in these days, the whole concept and the whole idea of evictions has been really one thing that you have tried to help people out on and letting them know really their rights and how to navigate it.
It's such an important issue. Anytime. When you are evicted, there's a cascading series of difficult things that happen. Studies have shown that it affects your health long term. It certainly is not a good thing under any circumstances, but it's especially devastating in an environment where we're all trying to shelter and be safe in our homes. And that's just very disruptive. It's going to be very difficult for somebody to do an apartment search like you normally would. In normal times, you would go and look at a lot of different apartments. I'm not sure how that works right now. So a lot of our efforts have always been to try to prevent the eviction to begin with. There are plenty of things that can be done to make sure that people's rights are protected. But the most important thing is to know what your rights are and to know what the law is. We've got two new laws that I think are really going to help, in addition to all the other laws that are in place that we've been talking about for years. Now there's two new laws that just came out to make sure that people are protected.
And those two new laws are?
So we have, first of all, the Federal CARES Act. That was the big legislation that was passed by the U.S. Congress in March. I think it was March 27th.
Yeah.
So it imposes a moratorium throughout the United States, and it prohibits the filing of any new evictions for non-payment of rent through July 25th if the rented premises are covered by the Act. So the act covers federally subsidized housing and properties with federally backed mortgage loans. So that means that if somebody is a landlord and that landlord is paying off a federally backed mortgage, that landlord is not allowed to evict anybody until at least July 25th.
Wow, that's a pretty important, that's something in that legislation I had not heard. That's a pretty important piece of that legislation there.
Right, and it all comes down to what is a federally backed mortgage loan. It's a loan owned, insured, or guaranteed by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, so you would normally call that a HUD loan, the Department of Veterans Affairs, the Department of Agriculture, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. There's a huge number of mortgages out there that landlords hold that landlords are trying to pay off, and there is a moratorium on any of those landlords evicting anyone before July 25th. They're adding on an extra layer of protection as well, and that is before the landlord files for an eviction, he has to first provide the tenant a 30-day notice after the moratorium expires. So this means if you're covered by the CARES Act, your landlord can't file in court to evict you until after August 25th, assuming he's giving you the 30-day notice.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That is pretty important.
That's breathing room is what it is. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't make your rent payments go away. You have an obligation to pay, but what they're trying to do with this legislation is give you the breathing room to come up with that plan B. Find other sources of income. Make a deal with the landlord. Come up with a payment plan. Something, instead of just saying, whew, I don't have to do anything. I can ignore this until August. Awesome. That's probably not what it's intended for. What it's really intended for is to give both parties a little bit of time to come up with some kind of plan that suits them. Because I would hope that by July or August, there's been some kind of sense of how am I going to get back into the workforce? How am I going to either get a new job, get back to my old job, find some other way to make this work. That's what we're hoping they'll use it for.
And I like how you mentioned, it's the breathing room to come up with a payment plan or work because you would in a lot of situations, I'm sure the landlord, especially if you're a good tenant, wants to keep you. And let's try to work something out where I can still get some money and I can keep you. And you can use it to your advantage.
That's right. You're really going to have a conversation, a negotiation, a dialogue with your landlord about this. Both parties have a lot to lose when an eviction looms. It's expensive. It costs money. It is difficult to navigate the system. It would be so much better for both parties if everybody just stayed where they were. But the landlord needs the money. Mm-hmm. The tenant needs to pay. So that's where the time frame comes in, where it's so important to give everybody a lot of chances to run down all their options.
Interesting. So that's one. There's another option here.
Sure. So in the federal laws, we have the CARES Act, and that takes care of all the federally subsidized housing properties with federally backed mortgage loans. Now let's talk about what the Virginia General Assembly did. So this is a state law. The General Assembly just passed an emergency law in April. Protecting tenants impacted by COVID-19 that's effective immediately. Normally, when they pass laws, they're effective July 1st or some date in the future to give everybody a sense of, oh, I need to prepare for this new law. They made this one effective immediately. Under this new law, when you do get served with a notice of an eviction, and if you do get served with it, it's called a summons for unlawful detainer. I don't know why they call it that. It's just what they call it. They aren't going to serve you with a notice of eviction. That's too easy. So it's called the summons for unlawful detainer. If you get one of those, you have the right to ask the judge to postpone or continue your case for up to 60 days.
Okay.
So even if this week the very first thing that landlords are going to do is rush into court and get those complaints filed to evict somebody, and then you're going to get that notice of an eviction, you have the right on that court date to go to court. You have to go to court on your first hearing date, which you'll find on the summons. The summons, the whole point of the summons is to tell you about that court date. And you have to ask for this continuance. You need to bring written proof that you lost your income due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So what kind of written proof would you think about? Well, it would be like a recent pay stub that shows no earnings or really reduced earnings, a letter from your employer, any other documentation acceptable to the court. So you could bring in just something that was an email from your employer saying, I'm going to have to furlough everybody, something. During your 60-day continuance, you know, during that gap, you should definitely try to work out a payment plan with your landlord. You really would be best served to read the things on our website about, you know, what should you include in a payment plan. Is it enough for you and the landlord to just have a nice verbal agreement that you'll get around to paying it sometime? Probably not.
Yeah.
It's useful for it to be in writing, specific payment amounts, specific schedule of when those payments will occur. Don't promise something you can't follow through on. But the General Assembly recognized that after the courts do open, there's going to be this tremendous wave of evictions being filed, and so they have allowed tenants to come in and ask for a 60-day postponement, again, just to give that kind of breathing room to come up with a plan.
We need to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue to talk about this. This is good stuff. LegalAidWorks.org, the website, and Klockner is with Legal Aid Works. We'll also talk about the work that they do in the community along with this and some other things and how you can get in touch with them. More coming up with Ann Klockner on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
And Klockner in this morning with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. We've been talking about evictions and a couple of, and before we get out of here this morning, I'll have you again talk, Ann, about just a couple of these laws that are in place that we may not be aware of. We were just talking off air, and one of the things, as you have talked about this, that just really strikes me is these are issues, especially on the eviction front that you've been talking about for years, of having concerns in this area. Now, though, you're just looking at just the mass number of people that are being impacted by this, I think, is what's now gotten everyone's attention.
I think that it is impossible for anyone who is listening to this to not have been affected. This is so universal, so across the board. It's either affecting you, your family, your friends, your loved ones, people you work with, people you interact with. So it has that effect in one respect, and that is that it is just going to be impossible for us to not have to adjust how we do things. There are going to be more poor people than before, just because of that incredibly staggering number of unemployed people. They're just not going to be able to pay all their bills and make ends meet. Most folks are not sitting on a big nest egg, so they're finding it very difficult to get through something that lasts really long, especially when they were kind of tight financially to begin with.
And again, you have talked about over and over about the fact, especially when you're dealing with evictions, is don't just look at some of these laws and say, I'm good till August. I'm good for 90 days. Work with your landowner and or the landlord, understand that not paying this doesn't absolve you from it, but try to work out a payment plan.
I think that's the biggest message, and I also want to walk through what landlords are going through, because they're homeowners. We have a lot of homeowners on our caseloads. You would think, oh, if you're handling only poverty population, you're just dealing with renters. We deal with homeowners, too. There's people who are living in their homes, trying to make their mortgages, getting very, very nervous about being foreclosed on. There's also protections in the CARES Act for people who are in federally backed single-family mortgages. They have provided 180 days forbearance. Servicers of those mortgages are prohibited from initiating foreclosure proceedings for not less than the 60-day period beginning March 18th. They're definitely providing forbearance for all the federally backed mortgages. They're not going to be coming down on those right away, but again, they're not going to just wipe away all of your mortgage payment obligations. So the more you can talk to your mortgage provider, the better.
Yep. Again, that's across the board on a lot of these things that we talk about. Ann Klockner here with Legal Aid Works. For those who aren't aware of all the services you provide, talk a little bit about what you do and how people can get involved, especially how people who are able can get involved in helping fund what you do, Ann.
Sure. So we're a nonprofit. We exist simply because we care about people who have a civil legal issue who can't afford a lawyer. There's no right to a free lawyer when you're poor and you have a civil legal problem. So we fill that gap. We try to level the legal playing field when people have civil legal matters. When you have a criminal matter and you're facing that, you get a lawyer appointed for you. That's a constitutional right. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. But that only applies in criminal cases. So we fill that gap when we know that somebody is going into court to face, let's say, an illegal eviction or foreclosure. Sometime they may have a debt that they are being harassed by a creditor to be paying. There are rules about what a creditor can and cannot do. We help with that. We help people avoid illegally cutting off benefits like unemployment benefits that should have been their right to receive. We help people with family law issues, custody, support, getting civil protective orders for domestic violence victims. So those are the kind of things we've been doing for years. Now, when there's a real upswing in eviction issues, in mortgage foreclosures, in domestic violence cases, we're really grateful to be the ones with the expertise who can help people navigate these very, very scary, very real-world conditions that they're now facing.
But these are scary conditions, and I'm sure, as we've talked, just the volume of people that are going to need some help and are going to be facing issues. And this is the time. As busy as you were before, this is the time when you do need more funding. And unfortunately, localities and any money from the a lot of your sources of revenue are, it stands to reason, it's probably going to be less at the worst possible time.
It absolutely is. And we've always had difficulty making our scarce resources go really far. We're pretty good at it, but it's been very difficult for us to turn people away. But we do that all the time because we only have a few lawyers covering a lot of area, and it's just really a huge need now. Our sources of funding are affected by this as well. So we get individual donations, we do fundraisers, and we apply for grants. Right now, we're seeing at least some of those grants going to go away. Some of them are going to be reduced. So people who have the ability to give us some financial support, we would really appreciate that. We have a donate button on our website at legalaidworks.org, and you click on donate. That would be a great way to be part of the support that we need to keep on doing the work that we're doing.
Boy, and just as we talk about these things, and there are so many needs, and again, your team of lawyers, you can't possibly meet the needs of everybody who comes, and you really do have to pick and choose. But it would be nice for more people to get involved and to be able to help out the work of Legal Aid Works in this community, legalaidworks.org. And like you say, just go to the donate button, and there are lots of options of how people can get involved.
That's right. We also have lots of resources on that website as well. So if you're curious about who we are, what we do, the kind of cases that we handle, if you want some legal Know Your Rights fact sheets, those are on the resource tab. We're really hoping to add to those as we go along. It seems like every day we have to alter them and change them and update them. Things are moving kind of quickly. Have you noticed that, Ted?
A little bit, yeah. It's just kind of hard to keep up with things. You, over the weeks when we talk each week, are always giving us resources. And are there one? I know you always have some new ones. You always go back to some of the tried and true ones. But there are a lot of helps out there besides Legal Aid Works.
Right. I want to draw your attention to two of them particularly that I haven't talked much about. I've mentioned them a few times, but I think it's important for everyone to know these resources. One is the Virginia State Bar is a sponsor for an organization called Lawyer Referral Service. And what that does is it matches you with a lawyer, ideally in your community, who has the expertise in the area of the legal problem that you have. And if you pay a very reduced fee of $35, they will give you an opportunity to be on the phone for a 30-minute consultation with a lawyer. Sometimes that 30 minutes is pretty much all you need to find out, can the landlord do this?
Yeah.
Am I right in doing this? Could you walk me through what I need to do this on my own? So that's a really great resource because for $35 for half an hour, that's much less than a private attorney would charge normally. But it's an opportunity for you, first of all, to just get some good, solid information. And it's an opportunity for the lawyer to maybe get a little bit of business. Because once you're done with the 30 minutes, you might say, look, I got to hire this person. He seems great. She really knows what she's talking about. It's not guaranteed that you're going to have a contract with that lawyer, but it is at least a way to try out a lawyer. So the number that people will call to get the lawyer referral service is 800-552-7977. That's 800-552-7977. My best advice to people who call that number when they're, you know, they've given their $35, they've paid it by credit card, let's say, and they get a lawyer on the phone, how much of that 30 minutes should you spend talking, And how much of that 30 minutes should the lawyer be talking? So
yeah.
Try to come up with the shortest version of your story, because if you tell the story and it takes 25 minutes, they're going to give you 5 minutes of advice.
That's a good idea.
But if you tell them a two-minute version of your story, they'll give you 28 minutes of advice. So that's my best tip for using the lawyer referral services. Plan ahead and come up with the shortest, tightest, quickest version of your legal issue, and then benefit from the lawyer spending the time with you to ask you questions, to find out more, and to give you some solid advice in that 30-minute time frame.
That is a really good idea. Again, lawyer referral service, 800-552-7977. Anywhere else you want to direct people to?
Sure. There's another resource that just started about 2 years ago, and it's called virginia.freelegalanswers.org. So again, that's Virginia, all spelled out, .freelegalanswers, all one word, .org. And what it is it's an online portal. You go in, you register. I think, I'm not sure what the income requirements are, but it's not as low income as our requirements. You put in your information. If you are eligible, you can ask a question, and then an anonymous lawyer, just volunteering their time, will go online and answer your question. So if you have a quick question, if you have something that you've been wondering about, if you just want a quick answer to something, that may be a good way to get that done. It is staffed by volunteer lawyers who just decide in their free time. They're going to look at that website and get notices whenever somebody asks a question in their area of expertise. They look at it, they say, oh, I know the answer to that, and they'll jump on and give a quick answer.
Interesting. Again, and I would think, again, both of these are good tools just for fact-finding, because I think in some cases they may tell you, yeah, you've got a case there, or, you know, no, that, you know, and here's why. So instead of wasting
right.
a lot of time, you can use these as really good tools.
And I'm going to shock you here, and I'm going to tell you that not everything you Google when you Google legal advice is going to be accurate.
Right.
And so just because it says it on Google, just because it says it on the internet, I would confirm that with a practicing, licensed Virginia lawyer to be absolutely sure that you're getting the good advice for this state, for this locality, that would make sense in your situation. So that's another thing I like about these, is that it's a good way to just really get some straight answers. Your Uncle Larry will tell you what the law is. Your Aunt Effie will tell you what the law is. And they have strong opinions, I have no doubt. But it's really good to make sure that you're checking with a licensed Virginia lawyer.
Lots of good information today. Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works here. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll again talk about some of the courts opening, what that means, and we'll talk again about evictions and a couple of things that you need to know. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff here this morning. Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works has walked us through a number of things, and we'll kind of review here for the class. And we talked about that courts can open as early as May 18th. It looks like some will, but some may not.
Right. The first thing to know is that if you do get a summons, if there's anything that's saying that there's a court date in the next week or two, by all means, check up with the court. If you feel uncomfortable coming into court, ask them if they can schedule a telephone hearing instead. But definitely the courts are opening up little by little, and the best thing to do is make sure that your particular court and your particular court date are still a go, and the best way to do that is call the court.
Okay. The other thing we spent a lot of time on this morning because of that, there's the word evictions come up, but a couple of both at the state level and the federal level with Congress have passed some legislation and dealt with some things involving evictions.
Right. The Federal CARES Act prohibits filing any new evictions for nonpayment of rent through July 25th if the rented premises is being paid for by a federally backed mortgage loan. So if your landlord has a federally backed mortgage loan, there is a prohibition for at least until July 25th. And then if the landlord files for an eviction in court, he still has to first provide 30-day notice after the moratorium expires. So that means putting it off until August 25th. For the General Assembly here in Richmond, they just passed an emergency law that said that even if you do get a notice of eviction, you can show up in court and say, can I please have a continuance for 60 days? Can I please postpone it? You have to show that the reason for your continuance is you have written proof that you've lost your income due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
And the other thing, you gave us a couple of great options for people that are looking just for some legal advice and some solid legal advice to see if they have a case.
Sure. One is going online and registering at virginia.freelegalanswers.org and putting your question there, and an anonymous attorney will just give you a straight answer. And the other is the Lawyer Referral Service. That's out of the State Bar, the Virginia State Bar. And if you call 800-552-7977 and you pay a $35 fee, you will have a 30-minute consult with a lawyer who has an expertise in that area.
Ann Klogner with Legal Aid Works. LegalAidWorks.org is the website. Check it out. There is a donate button, and get involved there and get involved in their good work. Ann, thank you again so much for your help. And we'll talk to you again next week. Ann Klogner, Legal Aid Works. That's it for Town Talk. We will see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.